is we've become an energetic culture. We've become an energetic species. We are now more energy than matter. And everything begins there. We've made the transition. We are not making it. We've made it. So if you look at, it's very similar to when we entered the industrial age over the agriculture age. The whole world didn't have to become industrial to recognize we had entered a new age. It was just a matter of when it was spinning. And at that point, when the industrial age was born and the agriculture age took a look at plow farming versus tractors and lights and electricity versus candles, even candle manufacturers knew that at some point their factories were going to close unless they found a way to cooperate and become scented and cute and gift. Otherwise, they were going under. Because their utilization had ceased to be practical, so they better reshape it and find another way. Now, eventually, the rules of the industrial age won, and the whole world adjusted to those rules. And remember that if you look at it from a historical point of view, that even if a nation did not become fully industrial, and even though there are nations yet to become fully industrial, they're completely aware that that's the name of the game. That industry rules over agriculture. So it's exactly the same thing now when the dynamics of energy have taken charge over the fundamentals of matter. The shift has happened. It's not going to happen. We're there. In the same way, you can consider contemporary spirituality an equal in that it is an energetic form of expressing your relationship with God or the divine or the heavens. Whereas before, we were more inclined to measure it by physical behavior. Now we have to define it more along the lines of energetic behavior as well. And that's a whole different paradigm. It requires a whole different concept of self-esteem, and one in which we regulate and hold ourselves accountable for the quality of our spiritual management and thought management. And just think about something. Accommodating this is the dramatic shift from religion to spirituality, which is a product of this emerging age of self-esteem. You know, following a spiritual calling used to be a different choice within your religion. Now, as your spirit emerges, it can tell you things like, you know what, for me to really pick up empowerment from this point on, I really need a little bit of Buddhism here. Or I really need a little bit of meditation, or I need to go on long retreats. Or do you understand how different this is? And if someone said to you, what are you doing that for? You say something like, it's something my inner self needs. And if you're talking to someone who hasn't discovered their inner self, you may as well go pound sand, because you cannot make anybody understand your inner self unless they've met their inner self. Much less understand that the inner self is a spiritual experience and not an ego trip. This is what I mean by a different paradigm. This is what I mean by understanding your self-esteem within the context of the essential target of your spiritual path. It is the development of the self in such an empowered way that you can listen to the instructions of the heavens that direct you toward maximizing your highest potential on behalf of the whole of life. That's what the contemporary spiritual life is about. And contemporary spiritual path is the same as the development of your self-esteem. Spiritual practice supports that. Spiritual knowledge explains it. But at the end of the day, It's your every second behavior and monitoring. Why am I doing what I'm doing? What's my motivation? What's my private agenda? The dialogue you have with yourself and how you operate, initiate, direct the power you now know you have, which is the incredible power of the spirit, your psyche, your soul, the manner in which you conduct yourself within that atmosphere is the standard by which you now need to develop the empowered self. And that's an entirely different place to go. Now, I want to return and bring to closure at this point the story of my friend and what's that got to do with where we're going next. And that's that at the end, her emerging self won because her spiritual self, as I said, you know, once it starts knocking at the door, you can only repress it so long. And as I've discovered in healing and in illness, eventually, one way or another, you're going to meet yourself. And either you're going to meet it through the shadow or you're going to meet it by letting it out and letting it shine. In her case, she finally, in coping with her anguish, came to the crossroads where she said, "This time, I'm going to choose what I need to choose for my own development and let the chips fall where they may." This is where trusting the heavens comes in. Now, I need to say something at this point because I think if I were listening to this, this would be the question I would have, which is, well, does developing the self always lead to such torment? Does it always wipe out people's lives? Because, I mean, like, if that's the consequence, I want to get out of this nightclub. And, you know, I've always thought that staying unconscious really is more fun. I had a friend who I did a reading for years and years ago, and in the reading I said, "Do you own a laundromat?" He said, no, I don't own no laundromat." And I said, "I see a laundromat," and he says, "Oh, geez." And he says he laundered money and he was a pimp and he he's one of my best friends, but this is how we met. And he was talking about, you know, I got to earn a living. I mean, the guys, they wanted more. What could I do? So eventually, you know, at the end of the conversation, he, "You give me a lot."